Welcome to Engender Love. I'm your host, Dr. Shannon Ponce. Join me as we discuss all things gender so you can better connect with those around you. So let's get started as we engender love. I was working this week on my talk for the Platform and Profit Summit. It is a great summit coming up May 1st through 3rd for businesses. And my talk is about gender inclusivity within business, how to audit your business for it. And as I was preparing for the talk and thinking about different businesses and different setups, I started thinking about gendered businesses. Now, before you think I'm going to say I don't agree with gendered businesses, just hold on a second, because that is not true. I actually believe there's a place to gender a group or a business. And the reason is that I had a mentor one time. Trudy LeBron is her name. She's the founder of the Institute for Equity-Centered Coaching. And she taught me that you can't include everybody and maintain the safety of your group. Because by including everybody, you are going to exclude people because you're going to include the people that make the space unsafe. So you can't include everybody. So that really opened my eyes, and it's probably the number one reason I sometimes, when I ask people why they gender their business, it is to create a safe space. So I think there is a place, and I think it's important to evaluate, to really be intentional about gendering your space. Even if it's the purpose of safety, be clear what makes it safe. What is it being safe from, and what about gendering it makes it safe? So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about being gender intentional. And then if you go through the exercise of being gender intentional, really understand why you're gendered, like your reasons, it'll help give you clarity about how and who you're serving. It'll even give you clarity if you are an organization that facilitates groups, like a coaching organization. It'll help you gain some clarity on how to facilitate it better. So we're going to look at being gender intentional. And then the other thing I want to look at is about being gender inclusive, how you can still be gender inclusive in a gendered business. So as far as being gender intentional, I think there are three questions first to answer. The first one's an easy one. Who do you serve regarding gender? And then why? Why do you gender your services? Why do you gender your business? Getting really clear on what you mean by why you do that. And once you answer that question, then how does being gendered serve your goal? I'll give you an example of what I mean. When I first had my first child, I was part of a mom's group, and that's what it was called. It was a mom's group. But the exact intention of it was to create community for caregivers of children, who the daytime providers of children who were alone with kids all day, to give them access to other adults and activities where they could bring their children and have and see and speak to other adults. So why is it a mom's group if that's the case? And I think it was the assumption that most people that do this are moms. However, when there was a stay-at-home dad in our area, we had him join us because at the end, and he had some hesitation at first because of the name. However, he desperately wanted community with other adults during the day. And so he came and he joined. But this is an example where the intention of the group, the idea of gendering the group was not about safety. The idea of gendering this group was because the assumption was that's who it was at home. And I think they wanted parents or guardians that were home most of the day with kids, not babysitters or nannies. We're not part of that group, but it's parents that were and guardians that were the aim. And so how does that help your goal? Well, calling it a mom's group didn't help the goal of creating community for these adults, for these parents and guardians. The bottom line was that. So that's what I mean by, like, why are you doing it? And then does that help you reach your goal? In this case, the answer was no. So those are the things to be gender intentional. Be really clear on who you are including and who you are excluding and why. And does doing that in regards to gender help create that experience, help create that goal that you're after? So once you've decided, yes, I'm going to be a gendered business, then the other thing to consider is how to be gender inclusive. Because I've been part of a lot of women's groups, and sometimes I feel very much in alignment and participating in it, and I enjoy it. And other times, I don't. And one reason I don't is that there is still space to use gender inclusive language within a group that is gendered. So when you are referring to people in general, are you saying, oh, the men and women of this? Or are you saying the people of this, the adults of this? Are you talking about, oh, your sons and daughters? I want to hear them refer to our children as children. And it shows me that gender inclusivity, recognizing that there are more than two genders. So I think there is space in our language when we talk about other people or even relationships, like not to assume that people's partner is the opposite sex. So this goes beyond gender inclusivity, but it's the language of gender that is going to represent that. Using gender inclusive language will take away a lot of those assumptions. So using gender inclusive language, beware of your binary language. The second thing are the assumptions. Groups where I have felt uncomfortable is when they have assumed that all of us, because we have identified as women, have the same experience, especially with our spouses or our partners. Oh, aren't you sick of this? Aren't you sick of that? You know, all women have to deal with this. The term all right there is a big red flag of assuming that everyone has the same experience. And I'm sorry, there's just nowhere in life that everybody of a certain identity has the same experience. I feel most at home with groups that what we have in common is our identity, and there is an understanding that we each have a varied experience. It's looking where our experiences overlap and where they don't. And it's going to be different person to person. So spaces that make room for that, that don't speak in those assumptions that we all have the same experience. And so a real simple way of doing that is using conditional language, using things like some of us, many of us, most of us even can be used at times too. So not making assumptions that because we all have the same identity, that we all have the same experience. You know, the exception to that is if you are a group specifically based on an experience, and that's the reason of being gender intentional, being clear of what you're creating, who you are. So maybe you're a group of dads who are the daytime provider for your kids. So you want to gender it as dads or male guardians, but that what the shared experience is you're the full-time provider for children. So that would be an example of including that right from the start, that this is who we're talking to. And then you can assume that everyone is the daytime provider for their kids. The other thing that many gendered businesses do not consider, and this is where that gender intentionality is really important, they do not consider whether their space can be inclusive of non-binary people. Now, let's remember that non-binary is an umbrella term for people that do not identify on the binary, meaning that they don't identify as a man or a woman. It is not a spectrum, so it doesn't mean they identify as something in between. Some non-binary people do, but some non-binary people feel like there's nothing on that spectrum that relates to them. I think of gender like the stars in the sky. I don't remember who first gave me that idea, but I really like it. It's not a spectrum. It's that gender identities are like all the stars in the sky. They make up the sky, but they're not on a spectrum. They're not a little bit of this. They're each their own star. So with that in mind, you have to really understand the environment you're trying to create to know where their space is. I'll give you an example. If it's about people that identify a certain way that have a shared experience, there will be some non-binary people that say, oh, you're a man's group, I'm out. You're a woman's group, I'm out. I'm non-binary. I don't relate to that. And then there are other non-binary people that may say, well, I don't feel exactly like a woman, but I do have some connection to that identity, and I feel like that would be a space I'm comfortable in. So again, understanding why you create the space you do will help you make that decision and make it clear this is a space for people who identify as women who share this experience. If any of that relates to you and feels like in alignment with yourself to be part of this space, come on in. that is my advice too about non-binary people is if you're really clear on who you're serving, my advice would be allow the person to decide for themselves whether that's a space for them. If you're worried, will it be disruptive? Will it not? It depends on what your space is about and why you think something would not be safe or disruptive. If it's really clear, go for it. Otherwise, I strongly encourage you to allow people to decide for themselves because on its own, just by gendering it, you're going to exclude a lot of people. So I think if someone's willing to come there, there's something there in alignment and maybe it's worth a discussion. The other thing that I want to talk about is I have heard, if you're a gendered business, I want you to think about this. I have heard of people being excluded by their gender expression. Remember, gender expression is the clothes we wear, the way we wear our hair, how we groom ourselves, whether we do our nails or makeup, etc., body hair, facial hair, lack thereof, all those things. It's what we see, mannerism, behavior. It's what we see when we look at a person. That's gender expression. It is not gender identity. We do not know how somebody identifies, but when we look at somebody, we're seeing their expression. So I have a friend who identifies as a woman and was assigned female at birth. So she's assigned female, she identifies as a woman, she's what we call a cisgender woman. She has a masculine expression, and she has voiced to me a lot of frustration when she goes into women's spaces. There is a great level of discomfort. There's a lot of questioning towards her of like, are you supposed to be here? I'm not sure you're supposed to be here. And sometimes she's even been challenged, get out, this is for women. This is why I think if you make who you are serving very clear, it may help you to trust that a person coming there will identify as that way. There's no always and nevers. Is it possible other things that happen? Possibly, but not typically. So that's a great example of people using gender expression and to try to block off. So be aware as a business, as a gendered business, that gender expression does not equal gender identity. The other place gender expression got in the way was a friend who was non-binary, and they were going to a women's group with a family member or a friend, I can't remember, and they were going to there with a friend, and it was virtual, and they got kicked out of the virtual room. And the reason they were given is they were not a woman. Now, I don't think the host knew they were non-binary. The issue was that their expression was probably viewed as masculine, and so they were removed from it. And again, this is an area where I think a small conversation would be good, and we have to be careful about using people's gender expression to assume their identity. So be really clear about why you gender your business so that you can better serve and better communicate with others about who you're including and who you're excluding. I hope this will get you started in being a stronger, better business. And I'm telling you, just by going through this, it will also help you serve the people you want to serve better. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Engender Love. If you have more questions, visit my website at engenderlove.com. You can contact me, sign up for my newsletter, or schedule a time to meet and see how I can support you. Have a great week and continue to engender love.